This is an interesting subject to begin speaking about. I never got very sentimental about very many of my material possessions as a child. But the few items that I felt very attached to, I felt a very strong attachment. It was never furniture or anything that I can now recall. And recently, having moved 5 times in the past 5 years, what little sentimentality I feel over material possessions, I think has been greatly reduced. When I look at the furniture in the apartment where my wife and I recently moved, to her, it's associated with her family members, inherited possessions. And I think perhaps I don't feel such a strong sentimental attachment because of how little material possession I still have from my childhood. So maybe it's unfair of me to ask her to feel less sentimental about the things that we have. As the program states,
this is an interesting,
I am a percussionist,
subject to begin.
And my family raised me to sing. I grew up in a family of a cappella singers. I sang a lot as a child in church. I never got very sentimental. And whenever I developed an interest in percussion instruments,
very many of my material,
they were supportive,
possessions as a child,
in the sense that they didn't stop me from pursuing,
but the few,
the
items,
interest of playing percussion that I felt very attached
but
to.
But the more I learned,
I felt a very strong
about attachment.
20th century music, the more
I was,
I
never
became exposed
furniture
to,
well,
or anything,
considering I'm in the middle of
that
a
I
realization
can now
of
recall.
John Cage's How to Get Started, let's talk about John Cage.
And recently,
my first exposure
to
John Cage
5 times
was through
in the past
4 minutes
years.
And 33 seconds, which
I think
is
a lot of people's entry point into the music and philosophy
I feel
of John Cage
over material possessions.
And I remember discussing,
I think has been greatly reduced,
4 minutes and 33 seconds with my mom one time, and
when I look,
she
at the
had
furniture,
no idea
in
what I was talking about.
The apartment where
she,
my wife and I recently moved,
she didn't really get it. And since then, I've played a lot of other interesting
family
music.
Members.
Inherited
and
possessions. I think sometimes it's interesting to me that, and I think perhaps I don't feel such a strong
we tend to overthink attachment.
A lot of things that sometimes
because of how little
just require us to listen
material
and experience
possession.
Them. I still have from my childhood. So maybe it's unfair of me, but I'll tell you, they really like it when I play music that grooves, to ask her to feel less sentimental about the things that we have. Since I began studying music, as the program states,
this is an interesting
I am a percussionist.
Subject
I've been encouraged by many of my teachers to use a metronome when I practice.
And my family raised me to sing.
Being a musician, being a percussionist.
I grew up in a family of a cappella singers.
It's very important to be able to keep a steady
tempo. I sang a lot as a child in church.
I never got very
But of course, this is only important if the music
and whenever
you're playing
I developed
requires
an interest
that
in
you
percussion
keep a steady
tempo.
Very many of my material
they were supportive
possessions as a child.
In the sense that they didn't
I think
stop
perceptions
me.
Of time can vary
from one
from
person
pursuing,
to the next.
But the few
I am just not a radical statement. That's just
an observation
that I felt very attached
but
to.
But the more I learned,
but I do believe tremendously in the value of practicing with a metronome because
the more
I was never,
as was mentioned earlier this evening,
to,
it helps you develop
or
a greater
anything,
awareness.
Considering I'm in the middle of
that
a realization
now
of
recall.
You know,
Cage's
for example, if we're talking about an orchestral
Cage.
Excerpt like Porgy and Bess.
And recently,
every percussionist's
least
favorite
John
excerpt
Cage
in the universe. Just
five
a constant stream of 16th notes. We may turn on the metronome to click,
which I think
is with a lot of people's every single note that you must play.
Music and philosophy.
So your metronome will click at the 16th note.
Over material possessions.
Drives everybody nuts.
I remember discussing,
I think, has
been,
greatly
taught and
frequently used a technique
33
where
seconds with my mom one time
I back off
and
to where
look,
the metronome clicks with an eighth note
again,
nothing radical. Back off again
what I was
with a quarter note.
About the apartment where
backing off
wife,
again with a half note. Backing off
she
again.
She didn't really get it
until you're given
and
one note every other measure.
Played a lot of
and what this does,
it's associated
other
for family
the practicing musician. Is that it gradually feeds you responsibility for the time in between those clicks.
Sometimes
you're playing
it's
with the perfect
to me
duo
that,
partner.
And I think perhaps I don't
who is
feel
going
such
to stubbornly
strong.
Click once every other bar.
We tend to overthink
whether you think it's
a lot
in the right spot or not.
Because of how little
just require us to listen
material
again.
Experience.
Maybe it's not an entirely useful skill.
I still have from my childhood.
But sometimes, if you're playing music that's supposed to groove.
So maybe it's unfair of me.
It's a good skill to have.
But I'll tell you, they really like it when I play music
steady timekeeping.
To ask her to feel less sentimental.
Or not. I don't know.
About the things that we have.
Since I began studying music,
one
of the areas of my musical
output
that my family
I've been encouraged by many of my teachers to
inevitably
use a
enjoy
and my family
is the fact that I play hammered dulcimer.
Raised me to sing.
Being a musician, being a percussionist.
I grew up in a family of
I'm a self-taught
very
hammered dulcimer player.
To be able to keep a steady
I don't know
as a child
if everybody
I never got very
but of course, familiar
is
with the instrument is a
if the music,
trapezoidal
whenever
sound
I
requires
that you
percussion
keep a steady tempo very many
with
my
strings stretched over
as a child.
Two or three bridges.
I think
it almost looks like a
time
piano turned
in.
Well, not looks like a piano.
Next,
it sounds kind of like a piano turned inside out. In fact, I read once somewhere,
but I do believe tremendously in the value.
Fully know if this is true, because. But back in the 1800s, they used to call it the poor man's piano.
It helps you develop a greater awareness,
considering I'm in the which is understandable because it's way cheaper than a piano, for example, way more portable than a piano.
Orchestral excerpt like Porgy and Bess.
And recently,
every percussion.
Whenever I was in sixth grade
in the universe,
I just a constant saw somebody at a Renaissance festival play hammer dulcimer, and I thought.
To click,
which that is the coolest thing with a lot of every single note that you must life. Play,
music and philosophy.
So as any sixth grader would,
the 16th note
over material possession
drives everybody nuts. And so when I was in eighth grade, my dad got me one as a combination birthday and Christmas present. We didn't have a whole lot of money, so it counted for more.
Mom one time.
I back off. Since we also didn't have a lot of money for private lessons for percussion, which I was studying in school at the time, obviously we didn't have money for private lessons on hammer and dulcimer
until you're
in the middle of
one note every other
rural southern Illinois.
And what this does,
it's associated
other
interest
in the practice.
And that was the thing about my dad. He always loved listening to me play hammer and dulcimer. Growing up in a singing family,
duo partner,
playing a diatonic instrument who is
going
very harmonically driven, very easy
to
make nice sounds on the instrument.
Whether you think it's
a
lot of
very
spot or not,
instantly gratifying
just
playing
require
experience.
Us to listen.
Again, maybe it's not an entirely useful skill, but over the past 15 years, I've been working at it.
Sometimes. If you're playing music, that's supposed to go.
And
so maybe it's unfair of me.
It's a good skill to have.
But I'll tell you, they really like it when I play music.
Steady times. I'm slowly making it a more central part of my musical
about
output.
The things that we have.
Shedding the baggage of it as a folk instrument.
Since
we're talking about
music,
hammer dulcimer,
one of the
areas I spent a year in Budapest, Hungary,
family,
I've been encouraged by
and
my teachers,
since
inevitably
several
way,
of my friends and other people who know me know that I play the instrument, they assume, oh, are you going to study cymbalum? They would say cymbalum.
I'm a self-taught hammer
and
dulcimer.
As my Hungarian friends, I don't know if everybody and anybody familiar with the instrument, it is cymbalum. It's not cymbalum. But they would say,
hey, did you go to Hungary to go study cymbalum?
Two or three
said,
bridges.
No. Are you kidding me?
It almost looks like a
two separate instruments.
Well, not looks like
I'm not going to study an instrument
kind of like a piano turned in. Never played before in my life for a year.
That
I read
a
very frustrated
but
and unproductive
tremendously in the value
I went to study chamber music with the Amadinda Percussion Group, but while I was there,
back in the
I got to play John Cage's Third Construction.
It helps you.
It wasn't the first time I had played that piece,
which is understandable.
I played it two other times on a piano,
previous,
way more portable than a piano.
I was playing the fourth player's part, and if you're not familiar with the piece,
whenever I was in sixth grade, one of the instruments called for in that player's part is a can, a tin can filled with tacks.
To click,
it's a very unique and characteristic sound.
Every single note that you must
play.
Music
living in
philosophy.
Budapest
so
as a sixth grader
at the 16th note
over
not being very familiar with
nuts.
And so when I was in stores that were nearby,
dad
didn't
got me one as
a
combination
tin can full of tacks.
We didn't have a whole lot of money.
What I did
so
have
for
was mom. This really interesting little metal shaker,
since we also didn't have a lot of money,
full of ball bearings
lessons,
called a spin shaker,
which I was studying in school.
And looks
obviously,
like a
we didn't have money for
tiny little alien flying saucer
hammer dulcimer.
You spin it around,
it
sounds
one note.
So cool. Rural southern Illinois.
Well,
Zoltan Gratz, who's the teacher at the List Academy,
the practice.
The
that was the
thing person who was
dad.
Running
he
the rehearsals. We got to that point
listening to
very early on in the piece. Growing up and
starts
spinning the thing,
instantly
raises his hand, stops the whole line.
Very harmonically.
What is this?
Very easy to make.
What is that sound?
Nice sounds on the instrument.
I'm sorry, I don't have a tin can.
Very instantly.
He walks over to me, grabs it,
just playing experience.
Where did this come from? What is this?
Maybe it's not an entirely useful skill.
I don't know what else to tell you. That's what it's called.
But over the past 15 years, I've been working at it. Sometimes.
Cage would have loved this sound.
If you're playing music, that's supposed to be.
I've never met John Cage. And so, I can neither confirm nor deny whether he would have liked that sound.
When I play music,
steady time.
I'm slowly making it a...
But Zoltan Ratz loved it.
More central part of my
music. At that point in time, it was the right instrument choice.
Shedding the baggage of it as a folk instrument.
Although I'd probably never use it in a performance of Third Construction again.
Since
we're talking about hammered dulcimer,
one of the areas
I spent a year in Budapest, Hungary.
Family,
I've
been encouraged by and all my teachers.
Several of my friends and other people who know me. Last month, I was involved in a very interesting project called "There Might Be Others."
Self-taught, very
hammered dulcimer.
My friends, I don't know
that was first created.
And
anybody
else with me
by a choreographer Rebecca Lazier.
It's not
and later. But they would began collaborating with the composer Dan Truman. Both are Princeton faculty members.
Two separate instruments.
And so it was a logical connection for the two of them to make.
Never played before.
The piece was based on Terry Riley's In C. I went to study chamber music, but with the
Amadinda percussion group.
Interesting aspect that the choreographer Rebecca decided.
John Cage's Third Construction.
There was going to be no predetermined order,
which is understandable.
Played it two
other times.
See, if you're familiar with Terry Riley's In C, it's a set of 53 musical cells of various lengths.
Whenever I was in sixth grade,
one of the instruments called for. And there's very few instructions to follow.
Tin can filled with text.
So in that way, the piece is very unique, and each performance can be very different. Well, Rebecca kind of took that concept to the extreme and said, we're not even going to have an order.
Not being very familiar with
you as the performers nearby have to figure out how to navigate from the beginning of the piece to the end.
Was this really interesting little metal shaker?
Since we also didn't have a lot of money
full
for
ball bearings, lessons,
and it's a lot harder to figure it out,
and
than what I
we didn't have
currently describe,
alien
than what I would even have time to describe in 3 minutes.
So cool, rural southern Illinois.
Well, Zoltan Ratz, who's the teacher at the List Academy, you imagine more than a dozen dancers. I think there were 15 or 16.
We got to that point,
listening
to very early on in the piece.
A dozen percussionists
start spinning,
all trying to figure out.
Instantly raises his
how to make a beautiful piece of art as a community.
What is this?
Very
easy to
what is that sound?
Nice
with
sounds.
A very
said, I'm sorry, I don't have a
preset vocabulary,
walks
no predetermined order. Where did this come from? Fixed in a time-based structure.
I don't know what else to tell you. That's what it's called.
But over the past, there's a documentary coming out.
I've been working at it.
Sometimes. By a Turkish filmmaker.
This sound. If you're playing music, that's
I would encourage all of John to check it out because.
And so. I can neither confirm nor deny
the result of this
that
process
sound.
That I'm describing.
I'm slowly making it a...
But Zoltan Ratz loved it.
One of the most beautiful and...
Part of
at that point in time, it was the right instrument choice.
Shedding the baggage
from human experiences of my entire artistic
although
career.
Although I'd probably never use it in a performance of Third Construction again.
Since we're talking about hammered dulcimer,
one of the areas June 15th, 2014,
and all my teachers,
since
inevitably,
several of it was my last month living in Budapest, Hungary.
Last month, I was involved in a very interesting project called Chimble.
There Might Be Others.
And I went with Zoltan
as a peace family
that was first
to Vienna for a day trip. We visited Vera Ligatibaka
Lazier,
the late and later George Ligeti's
Wittgen
collaborating with the composer Dan Truman.
Of
course, Ligeti being
Princeton faculty member.
One of Hungary's most important composers, a logical connection for the two of the 20th century, and really one of the most
based on
influential Terry Riley's In C composers.
I went to study chamber music,
but with the ever to come from Hungary,
interesting
was a very
that the choreographer
surreal experience that
There was going to be no
random American percussionist who had just spent 10 months trying to learn something, anything, from the people I was working with in Hungary.
Very few instructions to follow.
Tin can filled with tech.
Somehow had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well,
Rebecca, to spend an entire day with the widow of such an important figure.
You, as the performers, nearby, have to figure out.
We spent most of that day of the piece in Vera's kitchen to the end.
Was this really
eating a lot of food, because she had prepared a lot of
ball bearings,
and it's a lot harder to figure out.
Let me tell you something, she's a very good cook.
Than
looks
what
like
I'm
a, we didn't have
currently
a
described. Woman in her mid-80s, still a practicing psychoanalyst, one of the most energetic people I've ever met at that age. You imagine more than really
a
makes me aspire to be that active if I am fortunate enough to live to be
a dozen percussionists.
Start spinning the thing. But the time came when we finally visited how to make Ligeti's grave as a community. And with a very it was so beautiful.
Set vocabulary.
His gravestone is one solid piece of glass,
fixed in a
time-based structure.
I don't know what else to tell you.
About 8 inches thick. There's a documentary coming out this wide by a Turkish filmmaker.
It's completely clear.
It's transparent.
I would encourage all of you to check it out because.
And so. I don't know if it was supposed to be a metaphor, if it was just process that I'm describing.
I'm
supposed to be a beautiful headstone.
But Zoltan Rass loved it.
One of the most beautiful and
part of
at that point in time, it was the right instrument choice.
But it was moving.
Human experiences of my entire artistic career. To see that transparent piece of glass brought me to tears.
Since we're talking about hammered
dulcimer, June 15th, last Thursday, I was at Temple University speaking with some students after my percussion quartet.
It was my last month living in Budapest.
Gave a short
last
4 months,
I was involved in a very interesting project called There Might Be Others.
And I went with
I don't expect any of you to know that I played in
Vienna
for a day trip,
or even know the name
Vera Ligeti.
We haven't been
and later. George Ligeti
together all that long. I'm very proud of the work that we've done.
Of course, Ligeti being,
but that's beside the point.
One of Hungary's most important composers.
A student
connection for the two
was thinking about
century and really one of the most
this great question:
influential.
How do you
Terry Riley's?
How do you get people to take you seriously as an artist?
But with the
ever thinking ahead,
interesting
was
aspect.
A very how am I going to make a living doing this?
Surreal experience that,
and I didn't know that this thought was in my mind until I blurted out an answer.
Who
so almost immediately after he asked
the
question, something, anything, which again, to restate the question was,
from
the
instruments called for,
the people I
if
was
people don't know
very
few instructions
who you are, somehow
so
had
how
a once-in-a-life how do you get them to take you seriously?
Well,
and I just blurted out, I said, with the widow,
you have to take what you do seriously.
You, as the performers,
have to figure out. And one of my bandmates
just kind of leaned back
in Vera's kitchen. To the
wow, that was really
eating
a lot.
That was really interesting.
Very well put, and I thought, well,
and it's a lot harder to figure out.
Let me tell you something, was it?
I don't know. I just blurted it out. I just
currently
woman
in
her word vomited that answer.
Still
it just came out. I don't know.
Analyst.
And then
energetic.
Well, I started to backpedal a second.
At age.
You imagine?
And I said, no,
it really makes me.
What
I mean is, I don't want
active.
You to take yourself too seriously.
A dozen percussion.
But then I realized, okay, I'm not backpedaling.
The time came when we finally visited
qualifying what I said.
He's a part of the community.
And the longer I spoke about it, the more I realized
it was so beautiful.
Set vocabulary.
I actually,
this is a very strong opinion of mine.
Fixed in a
time-based
structure. I don't know what else to tell you.
About 8 inches thick. Never take yourself too seriously.
This wide by a Turkish.
It's completely clear.
It's
transparent. But to take what you do very seriously,
because.
And so.
I don't know if it was supposed to be a metaphor, if it was just process.
And after thinking about that for the past few days, it's
supposed to be a beautiful headstone.
But Zoltan Rass loved it.
One I think I really believe that.
At that point in time,
I want to take what I do very serious,
but it was moving.
Human experiences of my entire artistic career.
But I can't take myself too seriously.
Transparent piece of glass brought me to tears.
I don't know. You got to laugh at yourself.
Since we're talking about museums,
you know those June last Thursday info placards that they have at art museums
after my percussion
it
quartet
was my last month living in Budapest.
I find them to be very interesting because you go to the art museum to experience art.
I don't expect
and then next to the piece of art
know that I play in
is a little info placard.
Sometimes it's in the form
we haven't been of a little box that has together describing the work.
I'm very proud of the work,
giving you a little artist blurb.
That's beside the point.
Which one of Hungary's the fact that I've now given a handful of professional performances, professional performances, whatever that means. Those envelopes you have to provide that kind of artist bio sometimes.
Interesting,
but I found it really
surreal experience.
Interesting that those info placards are there, telling you what the work is.
Almost
sometimes telling you what to think about
anything,
which again,
maybe not always.
The question was, but sometimes if people don't know,
kind of nudges you.
In a direction, saying
somehow
how this is what this piece of art.
How do you get them to take you seriously?
Well,
and you should take my word for it because
you have to.
I'm mounted on the wall next to it.
You, as the performers, have to figure out.
And now, for somebody who doesn't have
that was really
a great amount of exposure to art.
Very well put, and I thought
somebody who has not been to art museums very much.
I don't know. I just blurted it out.
I took my mom to an art exhibit when I was living in Budapest. It was in the National Gallery. It was a beautiful Chagall exhibit.
And I said, no,
and my mom is not somebody who goes to art museums very often.
But then I realized, okay, I'm
laughed
at the time came when we finally visited
quite a bit what I said by the time we got to the end of the exhibit.
And the longer I spoke about it,
because she was reading all of those little info placards, trying to understand it. And by the end of the exhibition, there was a little light in her eyes. And she just turned to me and said,
"Never take yourself too seriously.
I understand it.
It's completely clear. It's transparent."
And of course, to my mind, I thought,
I don't know if it was supposed to be a metaphor.
I guess that placard had a purpose after all.
It's supposed to be a beautiful headstone.
But really, I think I really in that moment,
I
just thought, okay,
but it was moving.
I'm very happy for you. I'm really glad that you were able to enjoy this as much as I did, even if we had two completely different experiences.
You got to laugh at yourself.
It's kind of fitting that,
you know those,
this is my last
info
topic
that they
to discuss tonight.
After my percussion
it was
quartet.
My last month living in Budapest.
I find them because
to be very
I'm sitting here realizing
you go to the art museum
I've been
to experience
and
art
with speaking
and
for
then next to the piece of art
about a half hour
is a little info plaque
or even
sometimes
it's in
the and
we haven't
despite what some of my students might think
together,
I would be the last person who would want to listen to myself speak for a half hour
which
the fact that I've now
student,
given I am a percussionist
professional
and not a singer because I hate the sound of my own voice,
whatever that means.
Those envelopes you have to provide that kind of but before I get too far
sometimes
off of the subject
I found it really
surreal experience.
I'll return to it and that is
telling you
I'm very interested in
what the work is
varying perceptions perceptions of time.
Telling you what to think about.
It's very fitting that I get to talk about this.
But sometimes
after talking about all of these other things,
in a direction,
there might be others. An hour-long collaborative piece of music and dance.
Suspended. And you should take
went by in an instant.
You have to
I'm
mounted
on Tuesday,
on the
I played Steve Reich's music for 18 musicians. Inside of one of those sections, it can feel like an eternity.
For somebody who doesn't
I play the offbeat pulse marimba part, so I play offbeat
exposure to
50 of the
somebody who has not
55 to 60 minutes. I almost never get to play on the downbeat, and that is mentally exhausting.
I took my mom to an art exhibit.
Within it, each of those sections, waiting for that next change feels like an eternity. But again,
Chagall,
an hour-long piece.
And I said, no.
Goes by in an instant.
My mom
a year,
somebody who goes to art
a year is half of a 2-year-old's life.
But then I realized, okay, I'm laughed at the time came when we finally.
And yet, it occupies such a
by the
tiny
time
space.
The exam, and the longer I spoke about
she
it,
was reading
a
all
tiny
those
sliver
info
of
a 60-year-old's
life. Understand it, and by the end, this is a very
so time literally speeds up
there
as you age.
Light in her eyes.
Or is it time?
She just turned to me and said,
take yourself
I don't know.
I'm not old enough to be a definitive voice on this subject.
But
and of course, to my mind, I thought,
I don't know
but
if
that reality,
result,
I guess that strikes me as,
after all, the past few days, supposed to be a
as somebody who
but really,
lost a parent
I really
in that moment.
At that point in time,
I just thought,
okay,
in 2012,
but it was moving.
I'm very happy for you. I'm really glad that you to a preventable type of cancer that went untreated
as much as I did,
even if we had two completely different experiences.
You gotta laugh at yourself.
You don't always know how long or short time will be.